This podcast was brought to you by Optus Stadium, now taking orders for your next breakfast or lunch meeting.
Good afternoon and welcome to At Close of Business, a daily podcast hosted by Business News.
The changing patterns of workers from some industries have led to a rethink in CBD office space. On today's episode of At Close of Business, here's senior journalist Claire Tyrrell discuss office vacancies, why they're continuing to tighten across the CBD, and why occupancy levels have not yet rebounded as quickly as expected after the onset of COVID-19.
But first, here's the news you need to know today.
Plans for an Edith Cowan University campus in Perth's CBD are set to proceed despite a red flag by Infrastructure Australia, which warned benefits could be overestimated and may not align with the Perth City Deal's objectives. ECU plans to move its creative industry, technology and business disciplines to a location near Yagan Square in the Perth City Link, a $695 million project which was to receive $245 million from the federal government and $150 million from the state government. ECU submitted its business case to federal advisory body Infrastructure Australia for review, proposing a benefit-to-cost ratio of 2.5, but Infrastructure Australia said in its review of the document that it could not be confident the benefits would exceed the cost. It said due to potentially overstated international student benefits, associated uncertainty caused by COVID-19, and the non-quantified benefits associated with realising the objectives of the Perth City deal, it could not be confident that the benefits of the project exceeded its costs. The state government and ECU have reiterated their commitment to the project. And in other news, it was touted as a means of kickstarting tourism post-COVID, but a plan to build Australia's largest marine observatory is struggling to stay afloat and evade the state's overheated construction market. For the past 5 years, the not-for-profit behind the Busselton Jetty has been progressing a $32 million plan to build a four-storey whale-shaped observatory, complete with an outdoor terrace, function room, an art gallery, and a restaurant. The structure would be modelled based on the existing 17-year-old observatory at the 156-year-old jetty, which would be converted into a marine research centre. The observatory was set to be fabricated by Henderson-based subsea solutions company Subcon Blue Solutions and towed 185 kilometres to Busselton. The plan had already gained the assent of several government agencies and the City of Busselton, recognised as an opportunity to kickstart tourism, better accommodate the increase in visitation, and to boost revenue. With it came the promise of economic benefits, supporting almost 200 jobs during construction and hundreds more once operational, and injecting more than $1 billion into the state's economy. But just days before the plan was due to receive the final tick of approval from the Regional Development Assessment Panel, contractors Subcon advised BGI's board the project's costs had been increased by more than 50%. Like a swathe of other major construction projects, the observatory is at the mercy of the overheated construction market, experiencing a 63% increase in materials costs, a 280% increase in shipping costs, and a 40% increase in labour costs. With its construction anticipated to take 14 months and the federal government's $13 million grant due to expire in June 2023, the future of the project now hinges on the board's ability to source $20 million by mid-February. Busselton Jetty Inc. is now seeking interest from corporates who may like to invest in the project, partnering in marine research, public engagement or tourism advisory. And WA mortgage broker Australian Finance Group is set to pay up to $70 million for asset finance aggregator Fintelligence, adding another 285 brokers and $1.1 billion in projected settlements to its books. National Finance Alliance, which trades as Fintelligence, is a Queensland-based fintech company that offers a cloud-based customer relationship management software and a platform linking brokers to finance providers, among other services. AFG announced the buy in an ASX release this morning, informing it would pay $52.5 million for a 75% stake in the company. Subject to certain milestones, AFG also has the option to acquire the remaining 25% interest in Fintelligence over the next 3.5 years. The deal values the company at $70 million. Fintelligence will remain as a separate brand, but the companies estimate the operational union will create a distribution network of some 3,335 brokers and generate more than $1.7 billion in asset finance settlements per annum.
We'll be right back.
You have a thought. Most people ignore that thought. End story here. Or you could explore it, collaborate, feel welcome, find a quiet spot, find a loud spot, find your own spot. Be you. Or form your own opinion. Get inspired by moments around you. Plan to make your plans come to life. And then change the whole world. Or some of the world. Or just your world. So don't ignore that thought. This is Free Thinking.
I get the feeling sometimes, Claire, that people forget that office vacancies are an issue here in Perth, even though we didn't have major lockdowns this year or last. There still are office vacancy issues, and there have been for quite some time, and you've written a bit about it in our latest edition, and specifically in reference to some new research from JLL. Tell me what they've found.
Hi, Jordan. Yes, I spoke to JLL, who told me that WA is tracking in line with national trends, and while the vacancy rates aren't as high here, obviously we didn't have the number of lockdowns here, they are similar in that the higher quality you get, so if you go to that premium A-grade office space, the lower vacancy rate is. So in Perth, you're looking at 6.2% for the premium grade office space, which is it's pretty good. But then when you go into that B-grade space, it's 28.5%. So there's a massive difference there. So I guess what that says is consumers are flocking to quality. I think in times like this as well, I think agents kind of to lure people into their offices, they do better deals. They say, you know, we'll give you an A-grade office space at a B-grade price, so to speak. Also some data from the Property Council. Their last office report was in August, and I think they're due to release another one soon. They say that the office vacancy rate in Perth is 16.8%. Industry insiders I'm speaking to are saying that should lower to around 15% in the next quarter. It was pretty high around COVID. I think it was up around the 20 during 2020, which is not ideal. I mean, you've got all this empty office space. The other thing to think about is the vacancy rate versus the occupancy rate. So you've got a lot of businesses buying office space, however, it's not actually occupied. And that's when you start to talk about foot traffic in the CBD, use of retail space. I spoke to the Committee for Perth, Marion Folker. I had some interesting insights into what people are actually doing in terms of occupying city space. They're not coming into the city, they're walking around the suburbs now.
Some fascinating passages in this article as well about the trends that we can anticipate and how patterns of movement have changed in recent years. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, I spoke to Jamie Vine. He was an interesting guy. He runs Liberty Flexible Workspaces, and he said that a lot of workers are looking for options closer to home. So you've got those workers who don't necessarily want to work from home, but they don't necessarily want to come into the city either. And this is why he opened up his recent development in Joondalup, which has 700 square metres of office space to attract those people that are looking for that midpoint in between working from home and commuting to the city. He told me, we believe there are many people saying they'd rather work from home a few days a week, when what they're actually saying is we don't want to come into the city a few days a week, because for many people, you're losing hours of your life in your commute. So what COVID has shown them is how much more productive they can be when they get that time back.
Nevertheless, there is space coming into the market, and not too far from where we are right now at Elizabeth Quay. Tell me about some of the major developments we can expect in the near future.
So I spoke to Colliers WA. He told me that 91,385 square metres of CBD office space is currently under development or undergoing refurbishments. Elizabeth Quay is probably the prime example. You've got Brookfield's two-tower development, which includes Chevron Tower, and the recently announced 54-storey glass tower by Malaysian developer Victor Goh. Victor's doing a lot in that area. He runs CA Corporation. He's also behind the EQ development in Elizabeth Quay, and Capital Square on St. George's Terrace. That includes the new Woodside buildings, which are attracting a lot of attention.
Well, I certainly know that I like to work from home where I can, but at the same time, not everyone is as lucky as we are to have such a fantastic office on St. George's Terrace. So hopefully in the near future, there'll be fantastic offices everywhere in the city and everyone will want to come in. Claire, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Danielle Green, General Manager at Business News. Are you a young business leader creating impact in your industry? Nominations are now open for the 40 Under 40 Awards, celebrating and recognising Western Australia's leading business professionals under the age of 40. Stand apart from your competitors, show your commitment to excellence, and celebrate your place as a leader in your field. Nominate today. For more information, visit 40under40.com.au.
This podcast was brought to you by Optus Stadium, now taking orders for your next breakfast or lunch meeting.
If you like what you've heard, head to our Spotify page to like and subscribe. New episodes of At Close of Business are available every day in time for our afternoon wrap. I'm Jordan Murray. See you tomorrow.